Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the
Priest,
the Pom,
and the Poof.
This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community. Good evening and welcome to the Spirit Lounge. We're here again. Usually it's the Priest, the Pom and the Poof, but we've lost the Priest again. She is down somewhere near the border with South Australia. So you're stuck with the Pom and the Poof. Say good evening, Mr. Poof.
Good evening, good evening.
Mr. Poof, in case you haven't listened to our show before, is also the panellist. So he is fiddling about with gadgets, knobs, bells and whistles. So that's why he doesn't sound like he's concentrating, but he is here.
I am concentrating. I'm always concentrating. You know that.
Now that we have a packed programme tonight, we have three guests. Very lucky. We're going to be talking to Julie Perrin, who has been with us before, about her up-and-coming event, and she's also got a story to tell us.
Yes, she's a fantastic professional storyteller. Mm-hmm. So fantastic last time that she was on the show. We liked her so much. She'll be back. We're also catching up with Michelle from Freedom to Be, and she's going to be telling us about their very, very special event, which is coming up on Friday.
Very exciting, and that means we can play at that too, doesn't it?
It does mean that we might participate. It means that everyone can participate, actually. But more on that later in the show.
Yep.
We're also going to be interviewing Simon Moyle from Urban Seed. They've got a very, very interesting event coming up. So stay tuned and we'll have all of that plus a bit more.
Joy 94.9.
You're on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. We are short priesty today, though.
We're down one priest.
Down one. We've lost her. If anyone can find her, please call the station. Call the station now. joining us on the phone, we have a fantastic professional storyteller and columnist for The Age, Julie Perrin. Welcome back to the Spirit Lounge.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
Now, I invited you back when I was looking through your blog on your website, and I noticed that you had some very, very lovely things to say about the Spirit Lounge, but we won't go there.
oh, please.
I saw on your blog you have a number of articles which have been featured in The Age, and one of them stood out particularly to me, and it was a story that you shared. I was hoping that you might be able to share that story with us today.
Sure. This was the one about the pearl, was it?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. It was about pearl.
Sure. Well, this is, like many of the stories that I tell, it's what I call a lived experience story. So it's something that happened to me. It concerns, you know, people I've met, people I know. And basically, this story started quite a few years ago now when I was working full-time, doing, you know, sort of heading in, doing this really full-on job. And part of the deal in the household was that in order to, you know, make this all possible, that we'd get a cleaner. And so I found this great woman who actually lived just up the road from me and was really interested in doing green cleaning and, you know, all of that kind of hard work and fierce elbow grease that goes with using, you know, green cleaning products. And she was terrific, and she really, she was just starting out in this business, and she worked really hard, and she did a great job, and I really, you know, was so glad to have her on deck. And then only a couple of months into this, I came home one day and there was a letter on the back of the envelope on the kitchen bench, and it was a note from Leila, and it said, "Dear Julie, I'm really sorry to tell you that I have developed an intense distaste for cleaning." I could relate to that. But she said, "I can't bear to do it any longer. I do apologise, but I have to stop, and I hope you will forgive me for leaving at short notice. Yours, Leila." And I thought, well, there's a thing, you know. And look, you know, part of me really took my hat off to her and thought, wow, you know, that will have cost you a lot to make that decision, because she was, you know, just starting out in the business, and she'd invested a lot of herself and a lot of time and energy in getting things started. But clearly this was a really visceral thing where she just had to make a change. So I just wrote her a little note, popped it in her letterbox, you know, saying all the best, my hard feelings, and didn't really think a lot more about it, except that it did remind me of when I hear those kinds of stories about where people have to kind of do something that is going to cost them a lot. They make a decision that's a really kind of strong decision in that way. It reminds me of that parable in the Bible where Jesus talks about, you know, the kingdom of God's like a man who buys fine pearls, and one day he finds a pearl that he sells everything that he has to go and get that pearl, and he literally has nothing left. He sells everything to find this pearl. It's a really short parable. I think it's about one verse long. But, you know, I have often thought about that in my own life and other people's lives when, you know, they come to this kind of nexus. Anyway, I didn't see her for years, really, and I wasn't all that long ago. It was earlier this year. I walked into my local cafe, and it's a little cafe that has, in the back room, they have quite a nice area where they have often have art exhibited. And there were all of these acrylics around the walls, and they were just vibrant. And people were literally sort of sitting, staring at them and talking about them, because they just had such an energy, and the colours were really deep and strong, you know, beautiful purples and forest greens and contrasting pools of mustard and lime, and oh, they were just really vibrant pictures. And the subjects were local, you know, that you could recognise the places, Darling Gardens, Quarries Park, you know, Studley Park, and they really captured my attention, and I thought, these are gorgeous. Anyway, I spoke to the owner of the cafe about the paintings, and she said, oh, actually, they're done by a local woman who lives just up the road. And you can guess the end of the story, can't you? The paintings were the work of Leila, the woman who'd been my cleaner, and wow. I guess she found her pearl.
Wow. What a wonderful story.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just great. And your point is exactly right. You know, we all do things in life, and I think from time to time we stop and we go, is this what I'm meant to be doing?
Yeah.
You know, am I happy? Is this... Mm. And I have the utmost respect for people who down tools, probably at great financial loss,
yes,
retrain.
Yeah.
And they follow their heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Well, I just rang her tonight to say, are you cool with me telling a story on the radio? And she said, oh, yeah. She said, I'll be teaching in my studio tonight.
Oh. Well, Leila, if you're listening, if you've got Joy 94.9 on in the studio, hi, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So, good story. True story.
So it's a fantastic skill that you have to be able to fill stories with such life and colour.
Mm.
I've never experienced stories like that.
Oh, wow. Well, come on down, Andrew. You better come to the Springtime Story Basket.
Mm, so tell us about that.
Okay, well, basically, it's I call it story basking because I like to think of it, it's not a concert. You know, it's not somewhere you just have to come and be in an audience. It's more like a retreat day. Mm-hmm. And people come along. It's a beautiful, open, light-filled space just near the Darling Gardens in Clifton Hill. It's mm-hmm. an old church there. And a beautiful space where you can sort of spread out or huddle up and listen to some stories. And I'm imagining people will be, you know, they might be even just sort of bring a cushion and listen with their eyes closed. But we'll have a bit of structured time where there's stories that are we told. I'll tell a combination of stories like that one that are lived experience stories and some of the ancient, you know, the old traditional stories and wonder tales that are more like dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sounds wonderful. Now, when and where is this happening, Julie?
This is happening on Saturday the 3rd of November.
Yep.
And it's at the Athol Gill Centre in Clifton Hill. It's very close to Clifton Hill Station or the Queen's Parade tram, so it's very easy to get there with public transport.
Okay, and what time does it kick off?
It kicks off at 11 and goes till 4.
Terrific.
You can book through Tribooking on my blog. And
okay,
yeah.
And what's your website, Julie?
Tellingwords.com.au.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us, and we loved that story.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Fantastic. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay.
Thanks, Julie. You. Bye.
Bye.
Joy 94.9.
And welcome to the Spirit Lounge. You're with the Pom and the Puff. No priest this evening because she's gallivanting around towards South Australia somewhere. Now, you just heard that promo. We have very, very exciting news because for the first time ever, Spirit Lounge are doing an outside broadcast on Friday night from 7 till 9. New slot, just a one-off. Very proud to be partnering with Freedom to Be. And we have Michelle Kolev on the phone with us. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Very well. Getting very excited about Friday.
Absolutely. Thrilled.
Now, just quickly, because I know we've all been working on this very, very hard, but all in secret. How excited are your members about Friday? And what's the sort of cross-section of community? What's the demographic we've got joining us on Friday night?
Oh, look, the people that are involved for Friday night are very excited. They're looking forward to being able to share their story and their journeys.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a great cross-section of people, actually, who are involved. We've got some that are young from multicultural backgrounds. We've got some that are still identify as gay Christians, others that have re-identified their faith. We've actually got three of our straight supporting ministers as well that are going to be part of the program. There's a couple that's going to be speaking. And, yeah, we're really wrapped. And a mum and a father and a daughter as well, which is fantastic.
We're dragging them in all the way from country Victoria.
That's right. They're travelling about 2 hours, I think, to come in to do it, which is just fantastic.
You know, when I went along to one of your Freedom to Be meetings earlier last month, I think
yep.
it was, I actually got to chatting with some of the guys and girls who get along there, and I was chatting to one guy, and I said, kind of flippantly, I said, oh, you know, well, you're from, I think he was from out in the country, Geelong way, I think, and I was like, oh, you know, well, out there, I've never actually been down to Geelong, so what's it like? What kind of support networks do you have? And he turned and looked at me and he said, oh, I'm not really sure what you mean by a support network. And I was like, oh, you know, we've got Joy and we've got the gay press and, you know,
clubs
in Melbourne
and
we've got all sorts of things. And he just said, oh, I guess that Freedom to Be might be my support network.
Mm.
Mm. Is that typical of the people who come along to Freedom to Be? Or is it likely that everybody has their own little support network locally?
No, look, I think it can be more typical than what we realise. We have people coming along to Freedom to Be that may have left their church, for example, and they've tried to integrate within, you know, some sort of gay mm-hmm. social circles, but they're not quite at that place yet because they haven't been able to reconcile their faith and their sexuality. So they really mm-hmm. are stuck in the middle. And that's where Freedom to Be comes in, because we don't have an agenda. We don't care whether you're in church or not in church.
Mm.
It's about being with other people that can understand some of your journey. And it helps to build that social, just that confidence a bit more as well, I think.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I noticed that too, Michelle, when I joined Andrew at your meeting last month. And, you know, if your church is your community hub and all of a sudden, because of one change in your circumstance in life, that support network rejects you, the isolation that these people must feel, especially out in the country, must be really, really hard to cope with.
Oh, it's incredible. I was actually just on the forum last night, which is our online community, And someone had posted something on there saying just how incredibly grateful they were that there was this online forum that they could be a part of, because they had nothing. They were kicked out of their church, they'd been isolated by their family, and they lived out in, it was country New South Wales.
Mm.
And they really had nobody that they could talk to, but they've been able to connect with some amazing people on our forum that can just offer them some support and friendship.
It's just brilliant. Now, before we go, I must ask you one more question, because we haven't chatted for a few weeks. I understand you've launched in Perth now, so how did that go?
Oh, we have. That was absolutely fantastic. Not the weekend just happened, but the one before that, I went over to Perth. Now, Perth has been in the making for about 2 years. And the reason that it can take so long is that just because someone puts their hand up to say, yes, I want to run this chapter, it's a bit of a journey for them as well, because to my knowledge, we are the only organisation of our kind in the world that we are not a Christian organisation,
yep,
and we're not exclusively a gay organisation. We're that safe space in the middle.
Mm.
So the lead up to Perth was very exciting. The two people that are running it, Graham and Bev, are just terrific. And we had some great publicity. I was able to do a couple of radio programs over there. And we had about 36 turn up on the night, which was just fantastic.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah,
so, Michelle, if anyone's listening from any part of Australia and they want to reach out to Freedom to Be, what's your website again, please?
www.freedomtobe.org.
And that's the number two, Freedom number two, B, just the letter B, isn't it?
That's correct.
Freedomtobe.org. Okay.
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us, and we will look forward to getting together for a seriously good fun outside broadcast at 7 o'clock on Friday night.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having some fun and, just hearing some great stories from a great mix of people.
Fabulous. We'll talk to you then. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Pom and the Puff, and the priest is absent, missing in action once again. Now, we are having absolutely gorgeous messages coming in on SMS and email tonight. Thank you, guys. It's lovely to know that there are people listening and we're not talking to ourselves. Anonymous from South Yarra has said, lovely to listen to your show. Inspiring as always. Detox for the mind, body and soul. Gorgeous. Thank you, whoever you are in South Yarra.
We've also had a quick message in from Vicky and Coco.
Coco Pops.
Coco Pops, sorry. Oh, not reading far enough.
No, you're not. Remember your training.
Lovely. Thank you for the compliments. Of course, we will take any donations as well. You can call 1300-JOY-949. And Vicky and Coco Pops have actually asked the sound bite in our little intro song, which says joyful, joyful. Who sings the song? It's been bugging me, racking my brains to figure it out.
Well, actually, should we give them a clue? Should we tease them for a minute? Okay, I'm gonna tease you. The tickets came out yesterday. I sat on the internet for one whole hour being booted off. I couldn't get on even to buy this woman's tickets. She's performing this time next year, and it is Mr. P.
It is Pink.
Pink.
And I believe the name of the track is actually Joyful Joyful.
Yeah.
So you'll have to get your Googling fingers out and
Vicky and Coco Pops, Google Pink and Joyful Joyful. And Coco Pops, did your mum and dad really christen you that name when you were born, darling? I'm looking forward to the response to that. Now, we are joined by our third guest tonight. God, this is a packed program.
It's been a marathon show.
It is. We're hardly coming up for breath. Now, Simon Moyle is a Baptist minister and public engagement coordinator for Urban Seed in Melbourne, which is a small community-based organisation that engages faith, community and culture in order to respond to poverty in Victoria. They prioritise small dynamic projects run by and for locals in ways that creatively complement and connect traditional services. Through advocacy and engagement, they also seek to address the underlying causes of disadvantage. Simon joined us tonight on Spirit Lounge, and he's going to tell us all about Urban Seed's forthcoming event, which is called Who's In, Who's Out, and Who Decides. Welcome, Simon.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
Now, Simon, for those who don't know, and for me as well, what exactly is Urban Seed? Is it a church?
So Urban Seed itself is not a church. We're a community organisation based, I guess, around hospitality, particularly to those who are on the margins of our society. So we run a free lunch in Melbourne CBD, where anyone is welcome to come. But particularly, I guess, the people who tend to come to a free lunch are people who are experiencing homelessness or other sorts of disadvantage. So that's been a place where all sorts of different people have been able to congregate over the years and I guess build a sense of community, particularly for those who are a bit isolated and, you know, due to marginalisation.
Well, it's very, very exciting to know that there is such a thing as a free lunch.
Indeed.
Now, Simon, the event that's coming up is being billed as a hyper-ethical exploration. So who is exploring what at this event?
So we're exploring a whole range of issues, and the particular issues we're wanting to explore are some of the really hot-button issues, I suppose, for Australia at the moment. So issues like asylum seekers, marriage equality, disability and Indigenous issues. So those four in particular are the ones that we're wanting to explore, and particularly, I guess, the ideas around social inclusion. So, you know, what does it mean to have, you know, to talk about social inclusion in those four areas? So we've got Tim Costello, who's moderating a panel of people who are all experts in their field. So people like Julian Burnside, Rodney Croom, Anne Mann, Grant Paulson, and Gordon Priest. So it'll be kind of, I guess, a forum type arrangement with an opportunity for people to ask questions of our panelists.
So I was talking about this before the show, actually. Is there a distinction between a forum and a debate? Is it a debate?
Yeah, so we're deliberately trying to break down that whole debate type dynamic, which is often very, you know, kind of forces people on the defensive, and it's often, I guess, about point scoring. So we're really wanting to go deep on the issues, you know, where a lot of kind of debates, you know, bat things back and forth, and you never really get anywhere very far. We're really keen to deepen both our knowledge and the exploration of these particular issues.
So, Simon, you've got, these are very high-profile speakers, and you're covering very hot and kind of current topics. Well, and my understanding, if it's a debate, is hopefully there will be some conclusions and some summaries. What are you going to do with this information? Do you use this to go and lobby the government, or what happens after that?
Well, I guess it's for all of us. It's partly for education, I suppose, for all of us. But also we're wanting to create an atmosphere where people can learn and also explore some of the issues and be challenged, you know, on all sides of these debates. So where you've got a kind of adversarial atmosphere, people tend, you know, to be forced back into their corners. We're keen to have a kind of respectful and ironic kind of atmosphere where people can be challenged on their particular perspective and perhaps open up to some new ones and actually move these debates somewhere that's useful, you know, kind of beyond the entrenched positions.
So I can't wait to hear the discussion between Rodney Croom, who of course is from Australian Marriage Equality, and Gordon Priest, who is billed as a Christian ethics expert. Now, interestingly enough, Christian ethics, is that very different to regular ethics? Is there a particular role that a Christian church play in influencing the ethics of modern Australia?
Good question. I think there is a difference in that Christian ethics is based on the person and work of the God that we kind of name, I suppose, as Father, Son and Holy Spirit. So there are some particular things there, I suppose. We've invited Gordon in particular because he's one of the people, I think, who does engage these issues at a really deep level, at a really intellectual and level, but also in a way that's really respectful of all positions. So that's one of the reasons we've asked him. But I guess in terms of the role of the church, I think most of the time the church doesn't model a very good way of engaging ethical issues. So I guess I'd like to see the church having more events like this so that we can, I guess, model ways of engaging the issues in respectful ways.
So do you think that it would be a fair comment to say that in a lot of ways the church could possibly learn from secular ethics and take from that?
Well, I think, I'm not sure. I think really what the church needs to do is learn from the one we name as Lord and Saviour, Jesus, you know, who did, you know, stood up for the people who were the outcasts and the marginalised, and I guess stood up against those who were in positions of authority and power and were abusing it. So that I think is the opportunity we have as Christians. I think too often, you know, Christians are offensive not because we, you know, have particular views, but because we have particular views that aren't at all like Christ. And so I hope that where we cause offence, that it's because we're being faithful to the story we've been called to, rather than because, we've abandoned it, I suppose.
Mm. Simon, we could talk to you forever on this because it's a huge topic, but we've got to move on. Can you just tell us when and where the debate is then, and how people can come along to join in?
Sure. So everyone's welcome. It's at Collins Street Baptist Church, which is 174 Collins Street in Melbourne. So it's on the 25th of October from 6 p.m. In the evening, and we're asking for a donation of $12 at the door, and all of that money goes to the work of Urban Seed.
Fantastic. And your website is urbanseed.org, is that right?
That's correct.
Fantastic. Simon, thank you so much for joining us and good luck with the debate.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
More of your favourite shows.
Joy 94.9.
You're on the Spirit Lounge with the Pom and the Puff. No priest. She'll be back next week. Now, we've had more lovely messages coming in. Excuse me. Mick from Melbourne. Hi, guys. Loving the show. Thank you, Mick from Melbourne. And I love this. Vicky, we had a message earlier from Vicky and Cocoa Pops, so I made a silly little comment saying, Cocoa Pops, did your mother really christen you that name? Because it's unusual. So we've had another email in saying, hi, it's Cocoa Pops here. I'm a greyhound. My racing name was Coco Mate, but I'm retired, and Mum thought the Coco Pops suited me a lot better. She's right. I'm having a great life in retirement. By the way, Mum already has her tickets for Pink. Okay, Vicky, I hope you have a spare ticket for me to come with you to Pink, darling. Love it. And give Coco Pops a big hug. We're huge animal lovers in this studio, aren't we, Mr. P?
We are.
Except you don't have any, do you?
Oh, well, I don't actually have any, but my housemate has two cats, which I look after.
Oh, well, that's as good as.
It's as good as. We're one big family.
That's as good as. I have some feline around you. Fabulous. So thank you for that. That's good fun. I'm glad that greyhounds listen to our show as well.
Well, yes, you know, dogs have very sensitive ears, I've heard.
They do. Now, we have a segment on the show where we always pick out some funny or not so funny. Sometimes it's serious news. And a few weeks ago, if you were listening, you might remember that we were talking about the lunatic education minister of Malaysia.
Was that scandal where I was forbidden from wearing a V-neck in the studio?
I think you were wearing a V-neck that
see,
night.
Do you see what I'm wearing? What I'm wearing today?
That's a baby V-neck.
It's a mini V-neck. I'm just a little bit less gay.
Are you just half gay tonight? Well, then the leading question is, what's the other half?
Anyway, so moving on with the news.
So we need to update our listeners in case they missed this story, which has been in the press. We covered it a few weeks ago because it's just so mental. But the education minister basically was creating a guide to help parents identify gay and lesbian symptoms, like it's a disease, hello, in their children, so they can take early corrective measures and steps to prevent this awful disease spreading. One of the guidelines on the list was must have a muscular body. Andrew, is that you, darling? Must have a muscular body and like to show their body by wearing a V-neck and sleeveless clothing.
For everybody listening, I am completely ripped and I wear nothing but V-necks and sleevelesses.
You're a whole gay, aren't you? You're a whole gay. I mean, symptoms of lesbians were equally hilarious. Attracted to women was number one.
I'm pretty sure that's not a symptom. That's actually the definition.
I think it's a fact, isn't it? I think it's a compulsory fact. Besides their female companions, they will distance themselves from other women. They like to hang out, have meals and sleep in the company of women. Note it doesn't say sleep with women. It says sleep in the company of women. I can imagine this sort of dormitory going on, can't you?
And, just next to them, you know.
And the last one for lesbians is have no affection for men. Anyway, so we did cover this a few weeks ago. We all had a big laugh about it. So, guess what popped up in the news just I think, 1 week ago, because we missed it last week, National Wear a V-Neck Day. No joking matter, says the Malaysian minister. So what happened in Malaysia after that initial fiasco was Malaysia's deputy education minister has made a po-faced response to the last week's tongue-in-cheek protest, National Wear a V-Neck Day. So, I mean, all the gays in Malaysia just went marching in their V-necks.
But you know what? I reckon a lot of straight people would have been marching in their V-necks.
Absolutely.
As well, because these rules are ridiculous.
They're insane. I don't know, if I was a Martian looking at Earth, I'd just think the whole place was completely bonkers. He responded by saying, it should not be a joking matter. He said, I made it clear in the interview that I was very serious about preventing the spread of LGBT behaviour in schools. And, you know, he said there are two reasons. It's the biggest cause of HIV after drugs, which is a load of old baloney. It also causes a lot of social problems such as broken marriages. I mean,
I didn't realise gay marriages were legal.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think the education minister in Malaysia needs educating, actually.
I think he does as well. But I think also one of my good friends, he's from Malaysia, and he found this news story of his own accord. Yeah. I don't actually think that he listens to the show. Found this news story of his own accord, and we had a great discussion. Uh-huh. You know, we had a great discussion, and he asked me all the things that he didn't want to ask a gay person.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is great. This is great. We need to have more controversial things happen so that then we can set the record straight.
We should get him on the show.
Yeah, we should do. I'll have to call him.
I know. Well, absolutely. But this education minister was also quoted in saying, we in the Ministry of Education take the LGBT issue seriously, and all we wish to do is to educate people, get this, on how to overcome this issue, how to prevent it, as well as early corrective measures. I mean, he believes in the cure. I start to rant. I'm going to rant. I can feel a rant.
You are
on.
Ranting.
Am I ranting? Okay. Well, I think if anyone would like to contact us who would like to volunteer to go and educate the Minister of Education in Malaysia, please do, because I think we need to send a group of people in V-necks, and I will hold my female partner's hand and we'll go and educate them. Because
I'd love to send a group of ex-gay survivors in V-necks. That'd be really great.
Who've survived the cure medication. If you are Malaysian and you're listening and you have any experience of this, either living in Malaysia or you left Malaysia for these very reasons, or you perhaps have been part of the education system, or we'd love to hear from you. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949, email onair@joy.org.au. Love to hear your thoughts on that, because this story keeps running and running and it's getting more scary by the minute.
Melbourne's most lovable station is now giving you more reasons to listen. Joy 94.9.
You're on the Spirit Lounge with the Pom and the Puff, and we're coming to the end of the show, so we just wanted to have a quick wrap-up.
We've had such a mammoth show. We've had so many guests. It's all just been a flurry.
Okay, should we summarise for people who might not have heard everyone tonight?
Yes. First on the chopping block, our first guest, Julie Perrin. She's running the Springtime Story Basking, and she shared that fabulous story with
us.
She
did, about the pearl.
To find out more information about her upcoming event, it's tellingwords.com.au.
Wonderful. And then we had the wonderful girls from Freedom to Be on the show telling us about Freedom to Be, and more importantly, our joint outside broadcast, which is running on Friday between 7 and 9 this week. Please do join us. It is called Freedom of Spirit, and it's going to be amazing.
Yes, if you'd like to participate in that, all you have to do is just make your way down to 6 Claremont Street, South Yarra, which is the VAC Gay Men's Health Centre.
So right beside South Yarra train station.
It would be great to see you there, and you can say all these lovely things that you've been saying in text message in person. And the last guest that we had was Simon Moyle. He was joining us from Urban Seed. For more information about their upcoming event, urbanseed.org.
Stay tuned for catching up, and we'll be talking to you again for a special program on Friday from 7 till 9. Thank you for your time. Good night. I'll be on the
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.